A lot of tasks I have to get into today.
Good morning. I'd like to bring the House Committee on General Government and Consumer Protection into session this morning. We have a relatively short agenda today. If you're here for House Bill 2631 or 2043, those two bills will be carried over till Thursday, when such time as we may have appropriate paperwork and a few other issues resolved. And so with that, I'd like to open a public hearing on House Bill 2247. Jan, could you give us a description of the bill before us?
Yes, Mr. Chairs and committee members, House Bill 2247, it will exempt from the public records disclosure statutes draft audit reports relating to the audit of a public body until the final audit report is issued. It extends the exemption to include any documents or other information related to an audit that is in the custody of the auditor. And you have before you a dash one amendment that's being proposed, which replaces the printed bill. It exempts from public record disclosure statutes unless the public interest requires disclosure in a particular instance, any document or other information related to an audit of a public body until the final audit report is issued or the audit is abandoned. It does not prohibit the disclosure of a draft audit report that is provided to the public body being audited.
Thank you. Perfectly clear. Could we have up Gary Blackmer, Randy Tucker, and David Barenberg? Good morning, gentlemen. If you would identify yourself for the record before giving your testimony. Thank you.
Good morning. Gary Blackmer, Director, Oregon Audits Division. Thank you very much, Co-Chairs Holvey and Wisnant, for the opportunity to speak in favor of this bill. This bill provides the opportunity for us to complete our work in a manner that allows us to forthrightly put it out and assemble our work papers in a manner that we can provide the audit to the public. And it provides protections for our preliminary audit work until we reach a point where we've put our work through the quality control process that's required by government auditing standards. And it also provides an opportunity for the agency to buy into our audit recommendations. So what this does is allow us to complete our audits in a timely and accurate manner, and it provides that window for us to complete it. And once we provided a draft report to the agency for their response, that would be a point where if a newspaper or any other media wanted to file a public records request, they could obtain access to those work papers as well as the draft audit report. We really see audits as a transparency and public accountability mechanism, and we in no way want to prevent any public access to those work papers. We simply want to get our work done in a timely way. And we do have concerns that if work papers are taken out of context or they're incomplete and if they're published for public consumption, those can create misconceptions and ultimately undermine the credibility of our audit. So we would simply ask that we are able to complete our work in a timely, accurate manner and then make those work papers and the draft report available to the public. At this point, we have worked through the issues that we've encountered, and newspaper publishers have no objection to the language as it's proposed, as well as other government auditors. We've been in communication with Suzanne Flynn, the Metro Auditor, David Givens, Deschutes County Auditor, LaVon Griffin-Vallade, and you will hear a representative from the City of Portland talk about that, John Hutzler, Washington County Auditor, Steve March, Multnomah County Auditor, Pam Strobel-Valencia, who's the Chief Audit Executive in the Department of Administrative Services, and Deborah Taylor, the Jackson County Auditor, and they're all in support of the language as drafted. So I would like to emphasize that there's no question that we see government audit reports and work papers as a public record. It's really more a matter of when those records are made available and not if. So with that, I thank you for the opportunity to speak and would entertain any questions.
Thank you. I think we'll go ahead and listen to other testimony first before we open up for questions.
Good morning, Chair Holby, Chair Wisnant, members of the committee. Randy Tucker, Legislative Affairs Manager for Metro, and I'm speaking on behalf of Suzanne Flynn, Metro's auditor, and the Metro Council. And Mr. Blackmer pretty much made the case for the legislation in front of you. Our auditor's concern is that when draft audits are prematurely released, they can actually undermine the outcome for which auditing is done in the first place, which is government improvement. It can make people more defensive. It can release erroneous information to the public that is later corrected but is out there in its erroneous form without a correction for some period of time. And so that's the reason for supporting the legislation. Originally, we were hoping to also be able to release the audits that are handed over to management at the time that the final audit is released. Understand that that's not part of this legislation, and that's we're comfortable with that. So, but for the same reason, management can get defensive when they haven't had a chance to respond to something that's been released to the public, and can be problematic in terms of getting the outcomes that audits are intended to achieve. At any rate, we're in support of the legislation as it is in front of you, and be happy to answer any questions.
Yeah. Chair Holvey, Chair Wisnett, I'm David Barenberg from the City of Portland and representing the city and our independently elected auditor, LaVon Griffith Valet. And we too are in support of this legislation for the reasons said by my two panel mates. We believe that this provides for public access and also provides the auditors with the ability of producing the most accurate and error-free audit that they can before it is released to the public. The public, as Mr. Blackmer said, will be able to track back any change because once it's released, all work papers and all documents are released so that any change can be traced back to its origin or who made it or from whence it came. So we are in support of this legislation and happy to answer any questions, and thank you for considering the bill.
Thank you. Questions from the panel? Not seeing any questions, it looks like a pretty straightforward proposition. I certainly can appreciate that I wouldn't want my draft e-newsletters going out until I had a final product, for sure. So I can understand your concerns, and I actually think it is a good concern. I appreciate the newspapers for working with you to make sure that they still had access to the information they feel needs to be disclosed as well. So thank you for your work on bringing this forward and getting it done. So with that, I'd like to close. Is there anybody else that wanted to testify on this bill first? I didn't see anybody else signed up. Seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 2247 and open a work session on House Bill 2247. Representative Wisnett, would you care to make a motion on the dash one?
Mr. Chair, I move the dash one amendment dated March 15, 2011 to House Bill 2247.
Representative Wisnett has moved the dash one amendment to 2247 dated 3/15/2011 be adopted. Discussion? Seeing none, could we have a vote, please, Tamara?
Representative Cameron?
Aye.
Representative Clem?
Yes.
Representative Conger?
Aye.
Representative Matthews?
That's correct. Excused.
Vice Chair Sheehan?
Yes.
Vice Chair Smith?
Aye.
Chair Wizard?
Aye.
Chair Holby?
Aye. House Bill 2241. Or 2247, the dash one amendment has been adopted. And with that, I will close the work session on House Bill 2247. that, I'd like to open a work session on House Bill 2074. Jan, can you give us a brief summary of House Bill 2074 to remind the committee the issues we were dealing with in this bill?
Mr. Chairs and committee members, House Bill 2074 changes the name of three disaster-related funds or accounts, and it makes two of these an account within the general fund, declares an emergency effective on passage. There's no revenue impact. A fiscal statement has been issued. There's a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. The committee heard this back on February 3rd, and there are no amendments to the bill.
Thank you. Do we have anybody to speak to this bill today?
Sean McCormick is here.
Mr. McCormick?
Oh, that's all right.
We guessed at your name. Hopefully we got it right.
You did.
For the record, my name is Sean McCormick. I'm a fiscal analyst with the Oregon Military Department, and I really don't have much to add. I'd be happy to answer any questions that the committee might have.
Well, maybe just to, I guess, articulate what took this bill so long to get here, and that there was some discussion about the fiscal impacts of this bill and triggering the kicker and different things about that particular fund.
Co-Chair Holby, Co-Chair Witness, I wasn't a member of the committee, that's correct. We tried for a couple of years now to get this issue resolved, and the primary problem with getting it resolved was the issue about kicking the kicker. And we've had multiple conversations with Department of Administrative Services, Budget Management, and meetings with Treasury to assure us that there is no impact to the state kicker. After meeting with Treasury, it was clearly identified that the funds in these two, in the Pre-Disaster Mitigation Fund and the Oregon Disaster Response Fund, are not available for general government purposes, which is really the issue. That's the clearly defined issue about whether or not it would be included in the calculation for the kicker.
Thank you. I think that was exactly the comment I was looking for. Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. McCormick said the Treasurer is on board now with these names, and you've coordinated.
To the best of my knowledge, yes, sir. They were going to be monitoring the hearing, so if they had somebody available to comment. But we met with Cora Parker, the Director of Finance.
Thank you.
Okay. Other questions?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Wisnett.
I move House Bill 2074 to the floor of a due pass recommendation. The bill will be referred to Ways and Means by prior reference.
So Representative Wisnett has moved House Bill 2074 to the floor with a due pass recommendation with a subsequent referral to Ways and Means by prior reference. Discussion? Seeing none. Tamara, may we have a vote, please?
Representative Cameron.
Aye.
Representative Clement.
Aye.
Representative Conger.
Aye.
Representative Matthews.
Excused.
Vice Chair Sheehan.
Yes.
Vice Chair Smith.
Aye.
Co-Chair Wisnett.
Aye.
Co-Chair
Holby. Aye. House Bill 2074 is passed. With that, I will close the work session on House Bill 2074. I'm going to skip down and open a work session on House Bill 3181. Jan? Remind the committee about House Bill 3181.
Mr. Chairs and committee members, House Bill 3181, it specifies that a permit to practice public accountancy expires if it's not renewed for 6 years, and it specifies when that permit expires. The certified public accountant certificate and the public accountant license will also expire. It allows the Board of Accountancy to restore an expired permit if it determines that it has just cause. It clarifies when the board may grant inactive status to a licensee. It specifies that an inactive licensee must clearly state inactive next to their title. The committee heard the bill on March 22nd and adopted the Dash 1 amendment at that time, which specified that a sole practitioner may not be granted inactive status, and it specifies that licensees still have to, that have the inactive status, still have to follow the regulations of the Accountancy Board. There is no revenue impact on the bill. There is a minimal fiscal impact with no statement issued, and the bill has no subsequent referral.
Thank you. And we did approve an amendment.
The Dash 1 was adopted March 22nd.
Thank you. So is there a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3181 to the floor of a due pass as amended recommendation.
Representative Wisnett moves House Bill 3181 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Seeing none, I know the member of the board is here. I don't know if they wish to comment before we move this bill on.
It's questions, Mr. Chair, if there are any.
Seeing no questions, Tamara, could we have a roll call vote, please?
Representative Cameron.
Aye.
Representative Clump.
Aye.
Representative Conger.
Aye.
Representative Matthews.
Excuse.
Sheehan.
Yes.
Vice Chair Smith.
Aye.
Co-Chair Wisnett.
Aye.
Co-Chair Holby.
Aye. House Bill 3181, having received the required votes, is passed to the floor. And with that, I'll close the work session on House Bill 3181. And do I have a volunteer to carry this bill?
I'll carry.
Representative Wisnett will be our carrier. Next up. I'd like to open a work session on House Bill 2129.
Send my email.
I'd like to bring some invited testimony forward at this point on this particular work session. And we have Mr. Rindy. And anybody else that would like to speak on this, perhaps? I did.
Co-Chair Holby and Co-Chair Wisnett. My name is Jerry Liggs. I am the Acting Director of the Department of Land Conservation and Development. Thank you for the opportunity to present this morning. You are already familiar with this bill, I believe. And I think, actually, I will just turn this over to Bob Rindy for comments on technical aspects of the amendments.
Thank you. Good morning, members of the committee, co-chairs. You have before you, I believe, the Dash 3 amendments that just came out late yesterday. They're identical to the Dash 2s that had been out a little bit earlier, except that in one place a technical correction was made with the name of the department had been reversed. I don't know how you want me to proceed, but I will say that what these amendments represent is we have been working with cities and others in a work group on this bill actually since last summer. And after our presentation to you earlier in the session, we continued to work and additional negotiations took place. These amendments represent agreement that we reached with the cities and others that I believe make the bill something that has generally a consensus. Now, we understand that there has been some additional concerns raised today. We just heard that. I'm I'm not quite clear on exactly how those concerns should be resolved in the context of this bill. At least one of those concerns, I think, is outside the scope of this bill. But I think you'll hear about those today as well. And then finally, there's another minor technical correction that has been brought to our attention that I did raise to Legislative Council late yesterday. I don't know whether they're proceeding to do something to change that yet or whether they're going to wait for directions from you to make further changes. So I can go through some of these amendments with you if you'd like. What I passed out to you is because it's sometimes so hard to read amendments that come from Legislative Council. I tried my best to insert them into the bill so that you can kind of see them in context. I hope that I got them all right. But by and large, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on these because they are pretty technical unless you have some questions.
Certainly, I think for the committee's information, the Dash 3 that's been referenced, I don't believe is on our S drive at the moment. Or is it?
Mr. Chair and committee members, the Dash 3 came late yesterday. It's being copied right now and will be here in just a moment. But you have the Dash 2, and the only difference between Dash 2 and Dash 3 is a change in the naming of the department, DLCD. But we'll have the Dash 3 in just a moment.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can we go ahead and have the League of Oregon Cities comments, and then maybe that will direct comments back?
Yeah, I was going to do that as soon as the committee stopped looking for the Dash 3, because they won't find them, I don't believe. So with that, if you'd like to give us your testimony, Linda.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Linda Ludwig, League of Oregon Cities. First of all, I really want to thank you for your indulgence and the time to work with the department to address the concerns that we brought before you at the last hearing. We've had the opportunity to do so, and our concerns are resolved, I think, as clearly as we can get them to be in the Dash 2s and the Dash 3s. Having said that, this is a very technical procedural bill about notice, local government notice, and the procedures that local government go through when they're adopting a plan amendment. And to that end, the language in the amendments could be seen as being even more complex than our current process. And again, I think Mr. Rindy mentioned that he attempted for your purposes to insert them in the bill. I think there, what I want to say is that there are a small number of people that understand these processes in these procedures and actually go through these processes in our cities. And there are the rules that regulate them are very, very, very specific. Again, what we see in the amendments looks like a more complex process. And to a certain extent, it may be, but we believe it will afford local governments an opportunity to resolve some problems in procedures with minor issues with notice timeliness more effectively and more quickly than what we currently do when we are remanded those decisions if we're a few hours late in filing a notice or timeliness, that sort of thing. So that was what we attempted to work on in the Dash 2 and the Dash 3. And from our perspective, where we've gotten is acceptable. I know that Central Oregon Cities, the COCO organization, has raised some concerns about the complexity of the process, the continued complexity in the Dash 2s, the Dash 3s. And they've raised one other concern that would be very nice to hear from them specifically that we tried to figure out in the hall, but I don't think any of the three of us can do the justice in terms of the concern, the remaining concern that they have. So that's where we are today. Yesterday, I did pick up a very small technical amendment in the last couple of pages of the bill that could be resolved in the Senate side rather than here, or we could pause and resolve it here. It is just a pointer in sections of the statute in 215 that deal with county planning and 222 that deal with city planning, rather than having those labels specifically in the amendment for cities and counties, it was termed local government, which is inconsistent with how the rest of that portion of statute is currently written. Our preference would be, and I wanted to put this in the record, to see that changed, 215 to have them reference county, 222 to have it referenced city, so it would be consistent and would not cause questions in the future. But again, that's a very minor, very technical amendment, which we could pause or resolve in the Senate. So I think that's my comments today. Probably not very clarifying.
Well, thank you. I think it was somewhat clarifying. Mr. Rendy, you mentioned some other proposed amendment as well. Is it the same as that she just addressed?
Co-Chair Holby, correct. That's we were just talking in the hallway before this hearing when I first heard about this, so I was referring to the same issue that I think Ms. Ludwig has described to you much better than I did. The minor technical issue that I was mentioning is that, indeed, in statutes ORS 215 and 227 referring to cities and counties, the amended language uses local government, whereas those individual statutes actually do currently say the county or the city. And so we have no concern about trying to go back and fix that. We just couldn't, we didn't know about it till yesterday, and we haven't had time to do that. Whether that's something that we should pause and wait, or whether we could fix that in the Senate, it would be your preference. We would prefer to keep this thing moving, but we understand.
I can appreciate that, but I think my preference would be to go ahead and fix this now, and also to perhaps have a conversation with COCO and I shouldn't say COCO, but Central Oregon Cities. With yourselves and Ms. Ludwig, and perhaps with the co-chairs, so we can see if we are comfortable with the with all the issues that are perhaps before us, whether or not we can resolve those issues, or whether they belong in a different bill, and we just need to have that conversation until I think we'll be more comfortable moving out a better product, perhaps with at least the amendments that you both have spoke of. So I think that'll be our direction, if you don't mind, Co-Chair Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and also thank the department and the city, League of Cities, for working on this. Two members of this committee are from Central Oregon Cities, so I think we would appreciate, they're in town tomorrow. I'll be seeing them tonight and tomorrow, so we'll try to set it up, a meeting with the co-chair and representatives from your departments and League of Oregon City, and see if we can address it, as the co-chair Hovey said. And I appreciate again your time and effort, the directors coming in and spending their time to support this and work with the cities. But I think we want to have this let the council support Chair Hovey and his request to carry it over.
So that that will be our task before us, and I appreciate getting it as far as it is and having, you know, a pretty good consensus on the bill. If we can just fix a couple of those technical pieces and perhaps address Central Oregon's questions, maybe they're already addressed, maybe they're not, time will tell. So I appreciate your efforts on this as well, so thank you very much. With that, I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2129 and committee.
We need to make this statement about carrying over.
So,
this one.
Yeah.
2129.
I already carried it over, but I can do it again. And 2631. And 2129. I'm just wondering whether we're not going to really, we should probably just reschedule 2129. Yeah, because if we're going to do an amendment, we're not going to have time. So with that, committee, we will reschedule House Bill 2129, and as previously mentioned, we're carrying over House Bill 2631 and House Bill 2043. With that, I think our business is concluded, and we will close the House Committee on General Government and Consumer Protection.